Okay, so we start these parashiyos. Shmoyis va'er boi b'shalach yisra mishpatim shovim. The minig based on deep in yanim, which we're not going to get into now, mainly because I don't know them. is that we are use this time to mischazek in yanim of kedusha. Now, kedusha, tahara, etc. Now, the Rambam writes.
What? Today is on the Rambam.
The Rambam writes in when he explains what did he write in the Sefer called Kedusha. He has 14 Sfarim, one of them is called Kedusha. In the Kedusha, he includes. Maybe you would think he should include Talis, Tefillin, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, Kedusha. So what does he include in Kedusha? The Isurim of Halachas of Shechita, Isurei Maichel, what you're not allowed to eat, and Isurei Bia, the things about Kedusha in terms of relationships. So says the Rambam, why? Why did I do this? Ech lo boi mitzvahs shal biyos asureis, a mitzvah shal maacholes asureis. The main two, Kedusha doesn't mean holiness, spirituality, all this stuff. Kedusha means that you're separated, you're designated. What are we designated? We're designated for Hashem. How do we as a people become designated for Hashem? In ways that separate us from the nations of the world. How, in what way is it nicker that we're designated? This that we have Sefer Torah, okay, very nice. So a lot of people have their religious stuff that they do. But the way we are separated from the Umas HaOlam, says the Rambam, is Ba'arayis, in things with men and white women relationships, V'macholas Asurais, and the way we eat. U'bishneim ne'amar, because in those of these regards it says, V'avdil eschem min ha'amim, asher hivdalti eschem min ha'amim. The way I mavdil you, the way I separate you from the nations of the world, is in these regards, is in these inyanim. So that's why this is these things is what I put in the Sefer of Kedusha. Unbelievable. So the Kedusha is this, that we're separate from the Umas HaOlam. We are different than them because we are makpid on how we eat, what we eat. Not everything is just, you know, allowed or whatever. And in the way that we relate between men and women, also very unique, our Hanhaga, that we maintain our Kedusha in these inyanim. And therefore, when we want to focus now on the birth of the Jewish people in Sefer Shmois, then we talk about the birth of the Jewish people in Sefer Shmois, we talk about the inyanim of Kedusha, because that is the birth of the nation. The birth of our nation is V'avdil Aschem in Ha'amim is in Kedusha. This is where our Havdalah comes. This is where we are born. The way we deal between men and women, the way we deal with in our marriages and in our relationships with Tznius in general, this is Kaveya, us as a nation of Kedusha. And this is how we are born to be separate. Now, there's two parts. One is overall Kedusha. And the minhag lately became to take it as an opportunity to be mechazik also in the halachas of taharas hamishpacha, even though that's not that's kind of like an offshoot, really. It's not the main thing.
Right.
But that became, you know, an opportunity that we take to review and go over and mechazik ourselves in the halachas related to taharas hamishpacha in our families. So I want to touch on both parts, the general kedusha and then kedusha in Taharas HaMishpacha specifically in our families, and talk a few halachas that are relevant. Just a little introduction. So, the one thing pasuk we say every day, V'loy sasuru, achrei levavchem, achrei neichem. Don't stray and wander after your eyes. The Gemara says, Einayim, alev choymed, ayin roya, velev choymed. That your eye sees and your lev desires it. So the bridge, the gateway between us and what's out there is the eyes. That's the gateway. So how do we get to the things out there? The way we get to the things out there is by seeing it. Once we see it, then we want and we follow it. And therefore, I just saw, actually, in Mesiyas Sharm, according to that drush of Chazal, it should have been Lo Sesorach Einechem Achrei Levavchem. Einechem is first. Mm-hmm. So why is it Levavchem first? So, Pshat is, it's a, sometimes it's the opposite. Halev Chaymed, and therefore it makes you see it. Because sometimes you see things the way your lave wants you to see it. So based on your lave, you end up seeing things. You can't always see Yashar. Your lave sometimes tells you what you're seeing. So you have to clean your lave before you can even necessarily... But anyway, Mishabura brings down... Okay. Mishabura brings down the one of the mitzvahs... I'll bring it back. I think maybe I saw it next door. One of the mitzvahs, Timidiyos, is Lo Sesorach Levavchem Achrei Einechem. We have to protect our eyes from getting involved and in engaging us with the world out there in ways that will develop a taiva and develop bad nature in us to hear or thinking about things and just getting jealous and thinking and involving ourselves in things which are out there. And therefore, one of the most important areas is Einayim, is how we see things and what to see and how to be careful. Rav Dov Kahn on Sunday, in my shir, Sunday morning, is going to be giving a shir on Hilchos Shmiras Einayim. And the shaila is going to be, what is the isser to see things that you're not allowed to see? Is the isser l'sesurach l'vavchem achrei einechem, which is, it causes something else, but it's not the isser itself. Or is it harchaka min ha'arayis? It's like a form of interaction with the arayis itself. Just like touching is a form. So seeing something is a connection to something. For example, we've paskin that habata behefker is koine. When you look at hefker, you could be koine. Why? Because that's a relationship that you have with the thing by looking at it. So when we see things, it's a certain connection that we have to it. And the connection itself could be aser. There's different connections you have to things. Touching is a connection, smelling is a connection. So seeing something is a connection. That connection could be aser. Nafkamina is, it could be that histaklus, if you're passing like that side, could be yarig v'yavar. Because it's like arayas. So the shaila, when Moshe Feinstein has a shaila, that someone was sick with a heart condition, and the doctor said that the only way that he should be refuah is to go to the beach. A mixed beach, or whatever, to a beach, but the one he found was mixed. I don't know if the doctor said you have to go to the mixed one, but the only one that he found was that one. So Lamaisa, the shalas is Yarek Valyavar to go. Could be it's Yarek Valyavar.
Yeah, so if to look. So
if it's Altir, in order to, you know,
it might lead to.
In Nishmartim called Davara and this, yeah. So it could be it's not also Malti Yarek Valyavar, but if it's a Kravel Arais, it could be Yarek Valyavar. So anyway, this is the idea that we have to be careful with these things, and there's halachas about this. The main halachas is that if a person is concerned that by them seeing something or interacting with something through ia, that will create certain, you know, feelings of connection or whatever it is, it's taka aser. And it's aser even a derech agav. But if, you know, so a person will say, so it's impossible to live.
To go to a place that's like that or to look. Obviously, to look, but...
Right, so now, what happens if I'm going to the place and I know people will be there, but I'm not going for that? So we paskin that by leka darka achrina, if there is no other way to go, which means the normal way in life, I have to go here. Let's say a person's traveling, they have to go through an airport. So in the airport, so everyone's traveling, everyone's busy, everyone's in vacation mode, so, you know, everyone's traveling. So if it's lekadak achrina, so therefore if a person is going bederech and they're not miskaven to see, it's mutter to go there. But they would still have to be not mechaven to see it. Okay? So it has to be that it's like a dakachin, I'm going. So now the shaila is, I remember we had a shir once on this, Rabbi Rotberg gave a shir. So the shaila is, So maybe, so then, is it mutter to go, right now they started a kosher gym. It was men only, and women's only hours. That's a very good thing. Mm-hmm. Not what?
Or you next.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay, so you have Kavana.
Maybe. Wait for this.
No. No, I don't have to go.
To the non-kosher now. Right,
no, so then you say, so maybe you go to the non-kosher, regular gym. So, okay, like a doctor, I need to do my exercise. I'm going. So, is that a heter? So, is that a heter? So, what's the answer? The answer is, so I heard a share on this once. So the answer is, no, it's not. Why? Because in such a place, the person's relaxed. The person is going on a treadmill, they're relaxed, whatever. So there's no way to say that he's not going to be mechaven and see and to look at his surroundings. If a person's going to the airport, I'm busy, I'm going to my gate, I'm going to get to my stuff, whatever is going on, I'm not focused on that. But here, I'm not doing anything.
And you're used to a place. You get used to a gym. Mm-hmm.
Even worse.
You're saying another stuff.
The gym these days, it's people go like the whole. It's a lifestyle.
So Lemaisa, I don't want to talk not nice, but Lemaisa, someone gave a share about this, and people are arguing like, "Come on, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to the exercise. I'm focusing on my exercise. I'm not really whatever." So Lemaisa, that
obviously never been to a gym.
Yeah. So I was.
They came out with the wrong pipe.
They went to the wrong gym.
So two weeks after that, I was on an airplane, sitting next to a big non-Jewish guy,
Like muscle wise.
I don't know, but he took up half my seat. Besides his own.
Sorry.
Okay. So big guy, and he's there, and he says. And I don't know, he starts talking to me about what he's done. So, do you work? He says, I don't do all that much. I retire, whatever, man. You know, and so what do you do? Look, I go to work. I don't know. He said, before work, you know, I go to the gym, look at the girls, have some good time, and then I get to work. So I took from him that's good for the var of going to the gym.
The whole board.
That is the var. It's not like derech agav. That is the point. The point is, like, that's a chelk of the relaxation. So you get into it. So that's not called like a darka achrina, right? So that's not, that's lachar not included in that heter.
I just want to clarify, does this include the fact that even if it's more expensive,
like a Karbachrina? Yeah, the Chor, I mean, because let's say they were before there was a kosher gym b'chlal. It still doesn't matter. Like a Karbachrina is only mutter if you're not going to be Mechavin in the end. If you're going to end up being Mechavin, then you don't have a head to like a Karbachrina. So then, you know.
If it's there, fine, but.
Yeah, exactly.
My place will mix it beach and stuff like that.
Well, obviously, I'm not even going there, yeah. So therefore, these things is. Person goes to stores and this, okay, you're focused on what you're doing, it's not the best, but you gotta do what you gotta do. But a place that's set up to, you know, create that atmosphere, that's a problem. That's not called like a dark achrina. Okay?
What about if you were going to the river to go kayaking?
Yeah, it's right. Because you're doing your thing in your place. The fact that there's people next to you, in the beach, you're part of the matzav. It's not like you're on your little. You're focused on what your place is. You know, but sometimes it's not. There are cases where it's not possible to avoid it. And to the degree that it's like going to be part of your trip, they put on a tour, a guide sometimes or whatever, right? And the sometimes they put on, if you're going like whitewater rafting, sometimes they put like a guide. So when I took my kids, we asked for a male guide. Whatever. We called in advance, we reserved, and I asked for a male guide. The few times that we did that. But anyway, that's this inya. So that's a chelek of Kedusha. And that's the Olive Base. This is the gateway. So a person, Sherman, and I did see a Gewaldica thing from Ramosan Vachtwengel. Ramosan Vachtwengel was the Mashgiach in Lakewood Yeshiva. And he said that he has no idea why Rav Aaron Cutler chose him to be the Mashgiach of this Mesh Gavaya. No idea. Who am I? Whatever. It doesn't make sense. And so I don't really know. I don't know why Rav Aaron chose me to be the Mashgiach. But I only have one thing. Is that since my bar mitzvah, whatever, I was always Shomer Ma'inayim. So someone asked him, but you know, he said, you meet with women. And he doesn't sit like this. He meets with women. He said, I train myself since my mitzvah. I could be looking like this, but I don't see anything. I'm looking over there, really. He said, I never saw a woman in my life. That's what he said. He said, they think I'm looking at them. I don't see a thing. I'm over there. So he writes. I don't know. He writes it about himself. Pelaplon. Okay, anyway, that's not our level. But the point is that to put yourself in a situation that's very compromising is definitely not a good idea. And this is the way we develop Kedusha. First is the gateway, and the gateway is where we have to be the most careful. That is the Aleph. Okay. The Beis. Let's get into a little bit the Kedusha Tahara in Taharas HaMishpacha. So, first of all, there's a... the more that we study, the more that we learn, the more that we enhance the Kedusha and the Tahara in our own homes, so what's the benefit of that? So there's a Chazal, a famous Rashi, that when Yitzchak brought Leah, Rivka, to his home, it says that she took over all the things that Sarah had in her home. So it says, Pirush Rashi, what happened? Rashi says that Shekol Zman Shasar Kayem Esayah Ner Daluk, Meir Shabbos Lev Shabbos, Ubracha Metsuya Ba'isa. So there was Ner Daluk, there was a candle. There was Bracha Metsuya Ba'isa, there was Bracha in the dough. Va'anan kosher al ha'oyel. And there was an onan, a protection, on the oyel. Says the Maharal, that those three things that Sarah Imenu received were connected to the three main mitzvahs of noshim that women have in the home. The bracha mitzvah of Isa is connected to the mitzvah of chala. Ner daluk mer Shabbos, ler Shabbos is connected to the mitzvah of ner Shabbos. And anan kashur al ha'oyel, what is anan kashur al ha'oyel? That means that the Shechina rested in their home. So that is connected the mitzvah of Nida, that was primarily on the woman, and that come, what does that bring to the home? That brings the Shechina to the home. This is not the maral, that's what Rashi means. And when Leah came back, when Rivka came into the house, his lashon is even stronger. Ki atahara mevi lidei ruach ha'kodesh. So there's a level of tahara that comes, that brings the Shechina into the home, and that's promoted from the more that we engage and understand the Indian of tahara. Okay. Now, fine. So, therefore, this Inyan is very, very important. Pele Yoitz brings down, Pele Yoitz brings down that Hayisha Yare Yas Hashem V'Yare L'Nafshoy L'Val Yomus V'Yisra B'Mivcha, someone that cares about his own Kedusha. V'Roitze L'Iskoitz L'Zara Kodesh, and he wants to have Kodesh Dika children. Tekev Shenoise Isha, immediately after he gets married, he should immediately yechapes mi pisfarim um pisoyfim ladas es asher yaseh. He should teach himself the halachas, should find the Rebbe, and learn the halachas of nida v'yishmar me'oy lasas kachal ha'torah. He should do all the halachas, u'bezeh, and doing this, gibor barzi azaroi, he will get, his children will be dor yishar and yivayrach, he will be zoyche to basically the good children. So this is us, the more being aware of this, and the more being on top of this, and the more we follow what we're supposed to, that is aftacha to a successful family and to good children. I had a crazy story with my wife. When we first got married, we lived in Lakewood, and she taught in a school in Atlantic City. Atlantic City is 1 hour from Lakewood. And it was there was a Jewish day school there, and the classes were mixed between Jews and non-Jews. There was a lot of kids there that were all sorts of types. So there was one kid there. That was like my wife noticed right away. This kid is like sixth grade. He's like learning Mishnayos, and he's like pounding. He's like, what's the deal with this kid? And then seventh grade, he's like wearing a hat, like out of nowhere. This kid just like picked stuff up, whatever. This kid right now is a Rosh Chabur in Beis Medrash Gavoya in Lakewood, he. The rest of his family, none of them are religious. And this kid, I don't know, they could tell from when he was 6 years old, sixth grade. We were following him this whole time. And then I found him in Lakewood. I'm like, is that your name? Are you related to that kid? I'm that kid. And I don't know if you know the Chayenu magazine. His wife is the editor of the whole magazine. This guy's wife. Chabad? No. He's a Rosh Chabur in Lakewood Yeshiva now, today, this boy. So my wife met this guy's mother and parent teacher or whatever. So I guess the mother is pretty open, I guess. So my wife said something as a teacher that, you know, this he's doing amazing. Like, he's really like, he's learning and he's into it and whatever. So she says to my wife, oh, yeah, he's my mikvah boy. She said, I never went to the mikvah except for once.
Wow.
Before we had this child.
You see the difference.
And it's a nice shot, I'm not making this up. I didn't read this in a book. I'm saying this is a story. What? The rest of his siblings are not from me. And it wasn't like anyone was Makarvin. It was crazy.
Himself, his colors.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy story. So she said, something, she went to a class, whatever, she went to the book for that time. All right. What? That's what she said. Michelle Blake, you know, whatever. But that was Maisa Shahaya. So that's what the Pele Yoyitz is saying, right? That this is the Kedusha that we, and the Tahara that we can bring. You know, do you have the number of Shia Lugner?
Yeah,
okay, I know the Mitzvah Tisharim, book is Toiki. Okay. So therefore, the more we know about these things, the more we, the more Tahara we bring, the more Kedusha we bring, and the more, you know, the more, Zchut we bring to our children, etc. Okay? So I want to talk about a few areas, very general areas. It's not the time to discuss, you know, whatever Machlikas, Beis Meir, and Rosh about a fucking Khan over here. Let's discuss very basic things, okay? We're going to have a basic halachas now. Basic things. One ha'ara. Ha'ara is like this. The people, when you first teach people the halachas of Nida, so you teach them all these things. You can't pass. You can't, you know, you can't lift things together. You shouldn't, you know, split a little bag of potato chip, of Danish, like, you know, and even sitting on a couch, maybe, if it's not different pillows, is a problem. So really, this is very, first of all, it's like a little intense. And second of all, it's a lot. It's very difficult, right? So my mother-in-law used to teach Bali Tshuva when they were first starting. She would teach them the Kalas. A lot of times she would teach them Halachas. And she found, and then I realized this myself in my experience, she would tell them listen, you know, just do the basic. Like you're starting, maybe they're not even religious yet, so just do the basic. We'll cut out the harchakos. What would happen? They would come up, they would come back. They say, you can't do this. The answer is that keeping the harchakos makes it easier, not harder. It's not that it makes it harder. So many rules and regulations. No, it's a mindset you go into. Going into it makes the whole thing easier, not harder. When you, if you take all that stuff out, you make it harder for yourself, not easier for yourself. Right? So she changed her whole philosophy and she teaches it. Like, no, keep everything. When it comes to our chakot, everything. And this way, you've already entered into a certain, you know, mindset. Now, when I want to talk a little bit about the bidikot, because these are just things that I know from people asking me. Okay? So the halacha is that the woman, when she's ready to become tar, she has one bidika before the night, it's called the hefsek tahara. After 5 days, she makes the hefsek tahara, and then she could start the 7 clean days. And the 7 clean days, the halacha is that she has to do 2 bidikot a day, morning, afternoon, both during the daytime. And that's how the tahara is created. You know, you're going from a tumah to tahara, so you need the bidikot to be machzik, the tahara, to strengthen the tahara, and this is how it works. So what happens is that a lot of times people are nervous, if I make a bidika, I'm going to find dam. So they ask a question, can I skip a bidika? So what's the answer? The answer is, well, it depends. If the person has a reason to think that there's irritation, scratches, or a maka, something that's going to create, we're going to find the dam, but it's not really the dam that was. So then a rav could say that you could skip bedikas. But what if I'm going to find the dam? So I tell the person, when you do bedikat chametz, you're looking for the chametz. You don't look for everything else except for the chametz. The point of it is this: this is what you're looking for. You're saying, so if it's there, then we cannot. You can avoid finding it. So that's not a heter. Now, what happens oftentimes, and this is what I wanted to bring out, is that a person had a situation that a person was going through something, you know, a medical condition or just something going on, that a rav would tell them that they could skip bidikot, either skip a full day or only do one a day. Different scenarios, whatever the scenario is, right? So what happens? 10 years later, the person comes to me, and they're like, they bring me a shailot. And this, so I say, okay, so she do another one? No, she only does one bidika on the first day and the last day. I say, why? Did you ask her up? Yeah, 17 years ago, you know, she fell down and she broke her leg and she couldn't. So the Rav said, you know, for our situation, we could be. Right. So this is not the way the people look to find get out of this. This is building up the more tahara. The more tahara is the doing it the right way. And, you know, obviously there's a share should be done to the ladies, not to the men, because the men don't need to go home and say, you know. But the point is that when to have an understanding, it's not like optional. This is the correct way it's supposed to be. There's two bidikot today for 7 days. This is the halacha. Oh, can we get out of it? Is there exceptions? Can a rav paskin like everything else? Rav could paskin. There's the situations, different situations. But it doesn't mean that now you got your get out of jail free card, and then, you know, for the rest of your life that's not the way it works. So you have to. This is one thing I see over and over again, that people get this psak, you know, for a specific scenario, and then they, you know, that's it, you know. Yeah, we got a psak. Don't ask. All right, and then
you only hear from others.
And then right then there's the name, right yeah, oh, you're still doing that, yeah, we got out of that years ago, right? so like the
broken phone,
yeah. So the you know, so this is not the right way. It has to be, you know, asked and looked for. I see this is a very strong place of kilkel that people, you know, and then mistakes, then people can really get messed up, because they can miss if they only do day one and day seven, and then they don't do day, they forgot day seven, so then they lost all Shavu Nekiyim. Then they have to start all over again for a whole full week. So you know, what happens on day seven? Well, so you have to. That's not the right way. I'm not saying that. Of course, there's exceptions, there's rules, there's ways to get around. You know, the ways to know what's correct. But you have to be aware that it's not an optional halacha like lechatchila b'diavik. This is the halacha. The halacha is to a day for 7 days. The poskim can rely on different things, shitot and this, but that's the halacha. The other thing is that a person should be very encouraged, as much as possible, to ask the sheilot to the Rav. Why? Because it goes both ways. It goes both ways. There's a lot of times, I think it's even more that the Rav will make leniencies than chumras. A lot of times people jump to the conclusion to assume that things are not good. When they have a sheila and a bidika, they run to assume it's not good. They assume it's not good. And the Rav very often will say it is good. So it's not good to jump to conclusions. A person should ask the Rav. And the other way also is that there are things that people think are for sure is good and it's not good. But that's less often, believe it or not. Most people, those times, it's the other way around. Is that the people think it's not good, right? So someone brings a shayla and says, you know, I don't even matter what you think. It's probably good, but I'm just trouble checking. Just, you know, usually it's just the opposite of what the person thinks. It's no shaykhus. A person needs to trade. I'm not saying it's a problem. That's fine. But a person then will say, well, I'll just be machmer. It's not going to be machmer either. Right. Why be machmer? It's not good. So the person has to take responsibility, ask the shaylot. If a person asks the shaylot, they should ask the shaylot in a timely fashion. For many reasons.
Same day. Right away.
Just now, someone comes to me, this pile. What is this? Oh, 14 bidikot. Can you take? Oh, by the way, I need it in 5 minutes. She's on the way to
Express.
This is from the last 7 days. First of all, it's hard to see what's going on. It's hard to see. It fades. It changes color. It's not. That's the first thing. So you should ask. No, but literally, I used to have someone every month would bring 14 shaylot on the last day. And I didn't really care because I don't think she was well. There was nothing on them. I think she was just like whatever. Anyway, but the point is, it's not. You bring it the race same day because first of all, it changes color, and you can't see anything. That's number one. Number two is that it could create a lot of confusion and mess up. Let's say, she did a bidika on day one and two. She didn't do a bidika on day three. Whatever. She was running late. She didn't do bidika, and then so what happens is the day two one was no good. So she would have made another thing on day three, and it would have been an hefsek. She would have gained the day, but now she didn't miss day three. Now she pushed it off 3 days because she didn't ask on time. So by not asking on time, you now are messing yourself up because you know, I assumed it was good, but back to the other thing, don't assume anything. So you know, ask the questions and ask them on time, because if you don't, then A, the Rav may have to be more machmer than he has to be because he can't see the question, and B is that you give a chance for more alternatives and things like that, that the people, you know, don't lose track of the days.
Who should bring shalot? Husband and wife. That's a big shalot in the couples.
And no,
some husbands send the wife to go bring the shalot, or the husband. Yes.
Yeah, no one should be embarrassed to bring. You don't have to be embarrassed to bring. That's the main thing. The main thing is don't be embarrassed and bring. I don't know about other people, but I will not answer a question from a picture. Someone sends me a picture. I'll not answer a question. Even if I see it's obvious, I'll say, you know, you have to bring it to someone. I can't, the colors change on the screen. You know, I forgot I tinted my screen yesterday, you know. You can't rely on that. That's not a reliable way. And the last thing that sometimes needs chizuk is the tefillah on time. sometimes the tefillah doing on time when it's nogeh to Shabbos, Yom Tov, guests, events. You know, there's a wedding that night, there's a this that night, or it's Shabbos, Yom Tov, etc. So the tefillah on time sometimes is neglected or pushed off because whatever, it's inconvenient. So as much as possible, the person should be, push themselves to try to do the tefillah on time. If they can't, they can't. They don't have to make themselves, but they should try. It's an important thing. If the only way to do the tefillah on time is to go before the Shakia, then we don't promote that method. That's not except in North Miami Beach, the mikveh is not open during the day. We don't promote that method. If it's a need that someone has, they can maybe ask someone else. But there are mikvehs that are open like that. But it's not. That's not really an option. It shouldn't be considered to be an option. And the option should be at night and going on time. Rabbi Porshama writes in the introduction to a sefer that he has experienced many, many times that people, through making and pushing themselves to do the tefillah on time and to do it even when it's difficult, have been zoicha to big brachot and segulot. So, Mr. Hashem, the more we strengthen ourselves in these halachas, the more we strengthen ourselves in being aware of what's the right, what's the wrong, and understanding that sometimes people think that in order to be moisif kedusha, I have to go wrap myself in my talis and tefillin all day. I have to go and reach these high levels and who knows what, right? But, there was something on a screen, right? And I didn't click it, or I went the other way, right? So the emes is that is the highest way to get kedusha. In our generation, the most kedusha a person gets in themselves is by being oimid bin yisayin. The more the oimid bin yisayin in inyan kedusha, that is the way to get kedusha nowadays. And therefore, the more we mechazik ourselves in that, sometimes we think, I'm just running away from the problem. I'm not actually doing anything positive. No. So he gets the schar of the mitzvah itself, he gets the schar of the kedusha, and it's like he's being oisik in the inyanim of kedusha itself. And that's what the Rambam says, that we are special because of this. Go tell somebody else that don't look there. This is Klal Yisrael's kedusha, and this is a positive. It's not just negative. Oh, if I look there, I'll be affected. No. The being oimid bin yisrael is the act of kedusha, and that's the way we're moisif in our kedusha, and we should all be mischazik in these times and these days to be moisif in the kedusha and the tahara of our families and ourselves. We should be zorichet to Yeshua's v'nechomet.